this is the final Aaron Keck show in the afternoon, and that means that everything that's happening is kind of the last edition of that thing that's happening on this show. Coming up at 6:30, we're going to have a countdown to tip-off. I'll be your host for that, getting you ready for Tar Heel basketball. Dr. Debbie Stroman will be a guest live during that half hour. So whether you count that as part of the Aaron Keck show or not, Debbie Stroman might be the last guest ever in the history of this afternoon show. But if you don't count that as part of the Aaron Keck show, then our last guest ever is joining us on the phone right now, Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website, joining us on the phone to break down lessons from 2020, but also to look ahead at the coming year, including that Senate runoffs in Georgia coming up in just a few days. Tom, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Well, I'm good, and I'm so honored to arguably, although I'll defer to Debbie, be the last ever guest on Aaron in the afternoon. It's been an incredible, what, 8 or 9 year run?
8 years. 8 years.
8 year run. And you have done a phenomenal job. And I was just on a walk with somebody who I was telling her that I thought I was going to be about your last guest. And she said, well, what's happening to Aaron? And I said, well, he's going to be doing the morning show. He's going to be the face of Chapel Hill, just like Ron Stutz was for the last 43 years. So nobody more fitting of moving into that really big spot in the community than you.
Well, thank you so much. So it actually kind of hit me about 17 minutes ago. Brad and I have this joke where if like crazy things go awry either in life or on the show, we just pause and say it's 5:18 and then start playing U2. Well, I said it's 5:18 17 minutes ago, and that was like the last time I'm going to say that, because I'm not going to be on the air at 5:18 in the morning as early as I'm getting up. So that was the last it's 5:18 ever. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life now after that.
Well, you better watch out. You might do such a good job in the morning that they decide you need to go 5 to 10.
Yeah. Well, catch us up. We haven't talked in the better part of this month, ever since the end of November. So we are looking ahead at the runoff elections in Georgia, and by all accounts, very close those two races are. And we're not really going to know until next week how things shake out. But what are you seeing in terms of those runoffs in Georgia?
Well, I'll tell you what we're seeing in our polling, and then maybe even more important is what we're seeing in the turnout figures so far. We've done four polls on the Georgia runoff, and the newest one came out of the field just yesterday. And we did, as you note, find two very close races. John Ossoff was tied with David Perdue in one of them. And then in the other race, the Democrat Raphael Warnock was a couple points ahead of the Republican incumbent Kelly Loeffler. The big difference between those two races is that Warnock is getting a higher percentage of the black vote than Ossoff is. And if Ossoff, as often happens, ended up doing as well with black voters as Warnock does, that would give him the lead, too. That's, of course, if you take the polls as the, gospel truth, which I think we saw on November 3rd is a risky thing to do. Although one thing I would note about it is that the polling was a lot more accurate in Georgia than most places across the country last month. So I think these numbers are maybe a little more trustworthy than they'd be in some other states. The Warnock race has been very consistent over the four polls that we've done. It's always been between a tie and a 2-point lead for Warnock on this last poll. We have seen real movement in the Perdue-Ossoff race over the last 8 weeks. The first couple polls that we did, Perdue had a 4 or 5-point lead, but the last couple polls have been tied. There's been a lot of negative attention to Perdue, especially around his getting sort of rich off of his tenure in the Senate, using information he gets as a senator to make investments and that sort of thing. And that's hurt his numbers.
So with the election just a couple of days away, we're starting to get turnout from early voting. What are we seeing there?
Well, first of all, turnout is off the charts. Already about 2.5 million people have voted. That's more people voting in this runoff early, with still 6 days to go before the election, than voted in the entire 2014 U.S. Senate election in Georgia when David Perdue first got elected. So turnout's very high, and the turnout is very good for Democrats. Georgia doesn't have party registration like North Carolina does, but what it does have is people's primary voting history, whether they've chosen in the past to vote in Democratic or Republican primaries. And Democrats have a big advantage in terms of people's primary voting history. And then the other thing that's really interesting in Georgia is that this is pretty surprising, but 100,000 people have voted who didn't vote in November. So 100,000 people have come out to vote who didn't care enough to vote in the Biden-Trump election, but are now coming out to vote just for these U.S. Senate elections. And all indications is that that big new chunk of voters is extremely Democratic leaning. It's more than 40% African American. It skews a lot more towards the younger side. Of course, part of that is because some of these people have turned 18 just since November 3rd. Mm. But it seems likely that Democrats are going to get a pretty big boost. And this really is where Stacey Abrams' voter turnout group is making a big difference, sort of drilling down on, well, who didn't vote in November that we really think would vote for us if they did vote? And they've gotten a lot of those people to turn out to vote. It's likely we're going to end up having 5 million people vote in the runoff, so 100,000 out of 5 million isn't that many voters. But when we're talking about races that could easily be decided by a point or two in either direction, that really does make a big difference. So it's going to be similar to November in that Democrats are accruing a huge early vote lead, Republicans will win huge on Election Day, and we'll just see if Republicans can turn out enough people on Election Day to make up for the deficit that they have right now. Because based on the votes that are in the bank, with already over more than 2.5 million votes in, Democrats definitely have a very substantial lead.
Is there a point of comparison between this time now ahead of the January runoff and this time ahead of the actual November election? Because the Democrats typically do better in early voting. It's just a question of how much better they do, right?
Democrats are doing a good bit better in early voting for this election than they were in November. Mm. So Republicans are going to have to win Election Day by an even wider margin than they did in November. And that's very possible. I mean, we certainly talked about that a lot in North Carolina, that Republicans are going to have – Trump's going to have to win North Carolina by 40 points on Election Day in order to win, and then he did that. So I certainly think, you know, we should have had enough of an experience with what happened last month to know that all bets are off in terms of how this ultimately turns out. But I think a lot of people assume that the Republicans were just going to blow out the Democrats in this runoff. And history has shown that that happened. The last time there was one of these Senate runoffs, the Republicans did 10 points better in the runoff than they did in the first round of voting. That's definitely not going to happen again this time.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, and as we wrap up, we're looking ahead to that runoff in 2021. We're also still continuing to get more information about turnout and what happened in the November election last month. So what do you know now versus the last time we talked about the results from 2020 and kind of the lessons learned, both in terms of what Americans are thinking and how pollsters did in terms of accuracy or inaccuracy there?
Well, one big thing we know in North Carolina is that 81% of Republicans turned out and voted, and only 75% of Democrats turned out and voted. And you look at how many races were so close, Trump winning the state by about a point, Republicans winning most of the key judicial races in the state by 1 to 1.5 points, Republicans winning a lot of the Council of State races by 1 to 1.5 points. The difference was definitely that 6-point better turnout ratio for Republicans than Democrats had. And that is just in North Carolina what the picture is. But I think as we get more and more of this data coming in, that's really what the story is going to be nationwide, is that Republican voters were just simply more motivated for Trump than Democrats were for Biden. And the reason Biden won anyway was because a decent number of Republicans, or at least people who have historically been Republicans, were just so turned off by Biden. I mean, so turned off by Trump that they voted for Biden. But a big part of why Democrats didn't have the sorts of down ballot gains that they were expecting is those sorts of historically voting Republicans who were repulsed by Trump might have voted for Biden, but they didn't vote Democratic down the ticket. Whereas all of those Trump surge voters who caused Republican turnout to be so much higher than Democratic turnout, they were voting Republican all the way up and down the ticket. And that's why Republicans were able to exceed expectations in a lot of races beyond the presidential race.
Get more numbers online at publicpolicypolling.com. Find them on Twitter for more numbers and analysis at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much. Happy New Year, and we'll talk again in 2021 in the morning instead of the afternoon.
Well, we'll enjoy it just as much then. And congratulations on a great 8-year run.